Welcome to episode 30 of the Mommy Beta podcast. We are four new mommies beta testing parenthood, and we write for mommybeta.com, which is a website that I hope you frequent regularly. Today we have three mommies on the line. My name is Natalie. We also have the other Natalie and the only Jennifer. How are you, ladies?
Doing great.
Very it's good. The return of the Jennifer sandwich.
It is.
Yes.
And that's Jennifer sandwich.
That Natalie bread.
So I'm not going to apologize for having my cell phone next to the microphone today. You may get a little feedback, but the reason I have it there literally sitting on my phone all day today is because my sister is being induced with her first baby today, which is very exciting, but nerve-wracking. She's across the country, and so I just have to sit on my phone all day to get little updates like she's being admitted, you know, and then water breaking, putting her on Pitocin. Like the update I just got my mom is that they're putting her on something called metoproxol. Have you ever heard of this?
No. Mm-hmm.
I guess it softens up the cervix a little before they do the Pitocin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like a little insert thing. So they put it into your vagina and it softens the cervix. And then they do the Pitocin later.
Oh, okay. But they didn't do that
Isn't
for
the
you,
Pitocin?
Right?
I think they did, actually.
Because you,
I can't remember.
You said your cervix didn't dilate really very well at all, and so that's why you ended up having to do a C-section. So you got all
it
of these
didn't,
tools,
but I think,
and you still didn't want.
Yeah, I think because I was admitted at like 8 p.m. and I think they put it in sometime soon after that, and they waited until 4 a.m. to see if my contractions had started, and they hadn't. So then they started the Pitocin.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think this was something they discussed with me because I had an induction scheduled, but I actually went into labor before that day and the night before. And I guess they were saying that they were going to put this, whatever you were saying, this stuff is called.
Metoproxol.
And metoproxol 6 hours before the Pitocin or something like that to make sure things are well on their way. My sister-in-law is due, her due date's next week, and she looks fabulous. I am so impressed with how well she's just done through this pregnancy, and she is already 2 centimeters dilated.
Wow.
Well,
Nat, you went to bed early too.
I was 3 centimeters for about 2 weeks. So I just walked around like that thinking that I was just going to cough him out any second.
Yes, she goes to the doctor and she said that her cervix feels like butter. And I was like, what? I'm so jealous. They never told me that.
Oh, yeah. I was like that. Yeah. I was 80% effaced and 3 centimeters dilated. So I was like, anytime now, I just sort of... It's so frustrating. My neighbor is like this. She's 3 centimeters dilated and 90% effaced, and her due date's another 2 weeks away. But it's her third, and so usually that happens a little bit faster. And she goes, I hate the part where you just put your whole life on hold because someone will invite you somewhere or something comes along in your email, and you're like, I better not because I'm just waiting. You can't do anything. You just wait.
Especially with number 3.
Yeah.
Because they came out a lot
slide right
faster.
Out of there.
Yeah. But you guys remember how it was. You put your whole life on hold. You're like, maybe we'll go to this movie or see this thing. I think the weekend before I had him, we went to see...
And I remember our friend Lisa came down to my house an hour from her house on her due date for our BIB Thanksgiving.
She did?
Yeah, on her due date. Because, you know, she hadn't had any action yet. So she was like, well, I guess so. She drove herself down.
I might as well.
I was like, well, somebody can get you up to the city if something happens. So,
yeah. Well,
definitely. At some point, you're willing to tempt fate. You're saying, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and do this. So just give me the story to tell someone. I went into labor when I was doing this. I actually was getting my hair cut. I don't think I was getting it colored, but I was getting it cut on my due date. They're like, oh, when's your due date? I'm like, today.
Well, I didn't make it to my official due date, but I had 2 different due dates because he was measuring bigger than the due date said. So the ultrasound technician gave me a different due date than the doctor. And so I had him on my first due date. So I didn't even make it to the second due date. But I think you kind of psych yourself out for that due date. And I felt like any day that I went past that would have been an emotional disaster. I would have just been like, please, I'm not prepared for this.
But well, I think I went further along than any of you girls. I was literally almost 1 week past my due date.
Yeah,
it was just past, I think, Natalie. Because Natalie, you didn't go a full week, right?
No, I think it was like 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's so impatient. Man. And, you know, she had said to me, my sister said, when you were in labor, she was in San Francisco and I had my baby in New York City. And she said it was just torture. We're just sitting on our phones all day waiting for updates. And I put my phone away. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I just said, you know, call Clayton. And so she was like, I know that's fake of you. That was so rude. So she had to wait for updates. And she goes, you'll see, it's payback. And now it is total payback. I hate it. I hate waiting by the phone. Remember the days when the daddies would just wait in the living room or the waiting room, rather? That seems like it would have been
torture. I can't even imagine.
Yeah, just sitting there.
I know. Yeah. I mean, they just weren't as involved, I guess, they weren't included as much in the pregnancy as they are today. And so I think that makes it okay. And then
you hear stories.
I actually like that. It was a whole different thing. They did these like.
What was that about Sean?
Oh, I was saying childbirth was this whole different thing. They did these like twilight births where you were on all this like weird medication and did you guys see that episode of Mad Men when she had her third baby?
No.
Oh my gosh, it was like the creepiest thing. It was like this weird like dream state they put the women in. I don't know what kind of drugs they used, but they called it twilight birth where you were kind of conscious and kind of not conscious. And a lot of times the doctors actually kind of pulled the babies out because you're not really able to participate that much. And
yikes.
It was just, I don't know, it's something a father probably wouldn't want to witness anyway. So I think childbirth has come in a lot of ways a long way. I mean, there's still a lot of medical intervention these days, but at least it's a little bit more on the natural participatory side.
Wow. My mother-in-law had... She only had nitrous. I guess they gave her nitrous oxide during her delivery. But her third daughter, when I looked in the baby book, her labor was an hour. All done.
What, she from the time she started pushing or the time that she...
From getting in the hospital to, like, she was literally in labor for an hour.
Oh, well, I was...
The third baby.
I was only pushing for half an hour. I pushed for 34 minutes.
Yeah.
So, which seems like
hers
an eternity.
Were just got shorter.
Jeez. Well, it's the Christmas season, so we had been writing a lot about the holidays. In fact, this whole show will pretty much be about the holidays because every post we have up there is about either holiday prep or holiday festivities or holiday gifts. So, Natalie, you had said that you're teaching Dominic all of these words that are Christmas related. Was that tough, or did he pick them up really quickly?
Yeah, he actually has been really super into the holidays. He was really into Halloween first and learned all the Halloween words like ghost and pumpkin and all those things. And he would say, boo, ghost, which was super cute. So he has been similarly interested in Christmas. And, you know, he says Christmas tree. And he was really excited to go to the Christmas tree farm, which I didn't really know if he would get into it. He was a little concerned when we got the Christmas tree, though, because we went to a, you know, you cut your own tree down kind of place, and my husband cut it down, and the tree fell over, and he goes, oh, no, fall down, and he got very, very concerned about the Christmas tree. But once we explained to him that was what was supposed to happen and that we were going to take the tree home, he was fine. So he's very into the Christmas spirit, although he's had a couple of problems with a few of his Christmas words. One of the first Christmas words he learned, as most kids do, I think, is Santa. But he didn't say it like Santa at first. He called him Satan. Which was a little awkward. We discovered that this is how he said it when we were at the mall with him one day, and they had just started putting the Christmas stuff out in Pottery Barn Kids, and my husband took him in there, and he was running around the store going, Satan, Satan, Satan. And I think my husband was just like, oh my God, people stop looking at me. But now
look, devil worshippers.
Totally. So luckily he now calls him Satin.
Satin.
Which is a little bit more agreeable. Satin, yeah, like the fabric.
That's so cute. Miles doesn't say his name. He just says ho, 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 and everything Christmas related is ho, ho, ho. But it started out with three hoes, and now it's like 16, where you go, oh, Miles, what is that? Ho, 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 ho. It just keeps going on. It's so
cute. The ho ho ho's are pretty cute.
And we got Christmas.
What about
gifts? Do you guys start the Christmas books before Thanksgiving? Because we got some Christmas books and Clayton said no reading them until Thanksgiving's over.
Yeah, I think we waited. I think we've just recently started with the Christmas books. We don't have too many. We have we had one, and then we got a couple more at the library the other day. So we're just kind of starting with the Christmas books. I have let him watch a couple Christmas shows. We watched Elf on the Shelf the other day, which was relatively entertaining. Do you guys know about the Elf on the Shelf?
I learned about it from Dad.
Big fan of Elf on the Shelf.
Why don't you explain it?
I'll jump in here since the triplets have this and they absolutely love it. It's an awesome concept. Basically, there's a little doll that comes in the box. It looks like an elf, and he's, I think, Santa's little watcher. So he keeps an eye out for all the girls and boys being naughty or nice. And the trick with it is every night the parents have to move him to a different location, and no one can touch the elf. I haven't read the complete story, but this is just what I've heard. And basically, you just move it around the house, and he it's awesome because it really keeps the kids in check, and they are terrified of this elf seeing them do anything wrong. So I think it's awesome for the parents, and the fact that it really is sort of a little, I don't know, a little what word am I looking for, ladies?
It's like a conscience. It's like Big
Brother.
He's
a prevention specialist.
he's a detective. It's the elf
exactly.
Private eye. It's the elf private eye who works for Satan.
Oh, it's Satan's private elf.
Yeah.
So I want to include a link with this podcast because we all love Pinterest, and I pinned a little link that has 101 Elf on the Shelf ideas, because I think one of the frustrations among parents is, what else do I do with the elf? Where do I put it? And then usually the next day, if the kids wake up and the elf hasn't moved, there's all these questions of, why didn't the elf move? Why is he still where he was yesterday? So there's some struggle with it, but I think the pros far outweigh the cons. And I was in Pottery Barn Kids the other day too, and they are actually going to have the author of the book in to do a signing and a reading on December 12th here in the Marin area. So if you're interested in seeing if he's traveling in your area, you could probably Google that too.
And I don't know if you guys have seen the kind of mischievous things to do with the Elf on a Shelf, but I actually pinned this. And it's basically, you know, things that your elf maybe shouldn't do. Like one is like the I had too much to drink last night elf, and he's like puking into the toilet. And then there's one, he's like sprawled out with a glass of wine. And there's like toe tag elf, where he's in the fridge and he has a toe tag on.
Oh my gosh.
So those aren't ones you probably want to use, but might be a little bit of a fun thing to do between you and your husband when the kids are asleep.
I love it. Hey, Natalie, Morris, I didn't get a chance to listen to the Daddy on Board podcast. I think you mentioned that they talked about this on their show. Do you have an idea of what their opinion was?
Oh, I think that they thought, wow, this is a weird thing, and our kids are too young to really understand it. Well, maybe Mike's son, Elliot, is too, so he might understand it, but Miles wouldn't really. He would probably just try and reach for it. So they just kind of said, what's this new thing? I mean, it sounds like it's a commercial success, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, whether or not it's actually in the spirit of anything, I'm not going to judge. But good for whoever thought of that. I mean, that's one of those kind of ideas that you're like, God, I wish I had thought of something so silly like that. Like next year, I'm going to, I don't know, come up with Christmas mice that like eat the crumbs of your cookies when the Grinch takes, you know, like it's just one of those things that someone had a runaway hit.
So, uh-huh.
But it's fun. It's fun. Well, before
it's like those one hit. Oh, go ahead. Sorry,
I was just going to say, before we move on and talk about toys, since that's the rest of our theme today, I wanted to tell everyone about Gazelle.com, which is our show sponsor. Gazelle.com sponsors the Mommy Beta podcast, and we appreciate them a lot for that. They are a site that allows you to trade in your used electronics for cash. So how it works is you look around your house, you find the things that you're not using, and you go to Gazelle.com, you tell them what it is you have to trade in. They will give you the value of that thing based on its condition, and when you agree to that price, they will help you ship it to them. They'll either send you a box or a shipping label. And when they get it, they'll either send you a check in the mail, a money order if you want that. I think it is a money order, a PayPal payment, or an Amazon gift credit. So there's lots of ways to look around your house and see what is a depreciating asset, something that's just sitting there collecting dust that I paid good money for, that you can then turn into something else. An Amazon credit is great because I've spent most of my money on this Christmas season on Amazon. So you can get 5% above the value that you agreed upon if you use Amazon. So it's a really great thing. It's also eco-friendly. If by some chance they can't use your electronic, they can't give you any money for it, they still will recycle it in an eco-friendly way. They also will wipe the data. So if you don't know how to wipe all your data off your laptop, they'll do that for you.
Oh, that's great to know.
Yeah, because that can be rather hard, you know, to figure out on Windows and Mac PCs. It's hard to figure out how to get all your personal stuff up there. So they guarantee that they'll do it for you so you don't have your identity stolen. So we like them a lot. Make sure when you tweet about them, gazelle_com, you let them know you found them on the Mommy Beta podcast. So let's continue to talk about shopping online. Jennifer is the one who continuously sends us good deals every single day from the Mommy Beta, on the Mommy Beta podcast or on the Mommy Beta email. We get something that we should be buying on Jennifer from Jennifer, who finds these amazing deals. Are you just a super crawler? How do you find all this stuff?
Yeah, actually, there's an awesome website, slickdeals.net, that my husband was turned on to a couple of years ago. We found some awesome deals on there. And I found the Walmart.com mini grill with a food set deal yesterday for $30. The food set alone is $30. So that was pretty awesome. But that's a great site to go on. And I learned about the Melissa and Doug 50% off sale last night, too, that Natalie Morris forwarded around to us today. And that's on Amazon today. So check it out. Hopefully you're listening to the podcast today so you don't miss that 50% off Melissa and Doug. And otherwise, I get about a million e-newsletters from stores that I really need to discontinue.
No, but you said that you've probably purchased a lot of these kind of little fun, you know, $30-ish type toys. But you said on your post that you wrote recently that you want to buy a big ticket toy. You think Elle should have something big waiting for her under the tree. And I'm wondering how big ticket is big ticket, because even a barbecue, I think, is a huge toy. She doesn't know that it costs $30. So what do you mean by big ticket? Like a car?
I completely agree with you on that. And not that I'm gender biased, but I didn't get her a grill because I'm not a big griller and I'd rather get her a kitchen. So I didn't get her a grill. And I'm not getting her a kitchen because I don't feel that she's at that age yet where she'll totally get it. And like many of you, we don't really have the space to just buy these big items that I think are, you know, quite costly and an investment for your child and for yourself. So I don't think she's ready for that yet. And I don't want to go down that route probably until her second birthday. So when I say big ticket, I just mean, yeah, I do have some two stacking toys and some books and some movies. Yes, I'm that mom that buys my child, my one-year-old movies. I'm starting her Disney collection. And I just was looking in the box and I was like, well, you know, I don't know if I necessarily have that one item that I really want. Just my sister is amazing at Christmas and really getting all these awesome things for her kids. I remember when they were one, they got this really cool bouncy rocking horse that has like the springs on it. And they had the little toy piano that we put in our toddler gift guide and all these things. But I've also seen where those toys are today.
Where? Right.
Well, that horse, I was talking to my mom, is sitting out on the back step, rotting. And the piano is up in their room, but they really touch it maybe once a year. I asked my sister how often they play with certain toys when I'm thinking about buying them. So that really sways my judgment in, do I want to buy this or do I want to buy that? Because I had contemplated buying a rocker, you know, one of the big rockers. Mm-hmm. And I just don't know how much use she'll get out of it. It's a big item, meaning like it takes up a lot of space. So that's why I am hesitant to buy that. And then when I also mean big ticket, Natalie, I just mean that, like, to Natalie Gafori, Christmas to us is a big event. It's really special. And I know Elle won't know that there's that big item under there, but we all have pictures and things like that. We like reminiscing over the things we got when we were kids. So to me, I was thinking, well, this is a special time of year. We don't buy her that much throughout the year. And I don't want her to get the mentality of that, oh, I'm going to get this big thing, you know, just mid-year for no reason. And so that's why I was saying, okay, I want to do like a bigger item that we normally wouldn't splurge on, except maybe for this time of year or for her birthday.
Yeah, it's hard when they're this age because they can't ask us for anything. We don't know what they're really into. I mean, I know my son is really into Thomas the Train. So we got him a little train playing table, and I know he's in, we got him a train set and that kind of thing. But yeah, there's no, like, you know, portable gaming system that I know he wants, or, you know, Cabbage Patch doll, or that one thing that will be like last year he needed, he was only 4 months old. So I got him an Exorcisor because we hadn't gotten one of those from our registry. And so, you know, that was his big ticket thing, but he didn't know it's really for us. Like it's for, he knew how to rip the paper off. He could grab it and pull it away, but that was pretty much it. So I understand the ceremony of it. But yeah, it's just more, it's harder at this point.
It is. And to be honest, it's come about, this thinking of mine has come about from talking to a few people like, what are you getting Elle for Christmas? And I start rambling off things and I start thinking to myself, well, that sounds kind of lame and that doesn't sound very fun. And what, that's what you're getting your kid for Christmas? So I just started feeling bad as a parent. I don't know why.
Don't feel guilty, Jennifer. Don't give in to the peer pressure.
Yeah. I'm like, am I Scrooge? Am I really Scrooge when my parents have been so awesome? Had so many awesome Christmases for me.
But that's a lot of things under the tree that she will enjoy opening up and playing with that day. And then the next day she won't know that it was the Christmas season. You know, she's little.
Right. Yeah.
Whereas next year she may want one of those American Girl dolls and then she'll play with it forever and it will be important to her that it came from Christmas, from Santa. But right now she'll just want the experience of waking up with her mom and opening gifts, you know, under the tree.
Totally. So. I think I'm just going to try to talk my nanny into selling me her purse because I have a living room chock full of toys and all my daughter wants to do is go and play in Rosalba's purse, take out her keys and put them back in. It's just things like that that you know that's sort of how things are just, that's just how they are right now.
Right. But I can relate to the peer pressure of it. Like, oh, what are you getting Miles for Christmas? And you think, oh, well, I have to say this one big thing. You know, the other little things are expected, but I have to come up with something big, you know.
Exactly.
Is it bad that I don't want my big ticket item to be from Santa, that I want the credit for getting it for him?
This is a good question. This is something I want to talk about, because how do you distinguish which toys get attributed to Santa and which toys don't?
I don't know. I was thinking about maybe, because we're getting Dominic a tricycle, and I just, and he remembers who got him what. Like, he'll hold up something that he got 2 months ago, and he'll say Noni because Noni got it for him, or Auntie because Auntie got it for him. So he knows that. So I just am not willing to give Santa the credit for this bicycle.
I agree.
I hadn't even thought of that, but I probably agree with you guys too.
I'm going to let Santa give him the fire truck that I ordered the other day, thanks to the good deal that Jennifer sent around. So he's going to get the fire truck, and I think maybe Santa.
Oh, we got the fire truck, too.
Oh, it's so cute.
It's really cute. It's already wrapped in under our tree.
Oh, you're ahead of me. I have it, but it's in the closet. I'm thinking about maybe letting Santa give him the helmet, because I know he's going to be really into the helmet. So
what helmet is this?
It's the helmet for the bicycle.
Okay.
But eventually, in order to keep up this charade, I hope I didn't ruin it for anyone out there. we're going to have to, you know, have them get what they actually asked for from Santa. Like, they're going to make requests, and we're going to purchase those marquee requests, and then we get no credit for it. Sucks.
Yeah, it kind of does.
I have never even thought of it that way, but it's totally true.
Yeah. Santa doesn't balance my checkbook. It's so unfair.
And you have to be careful, because I remember one year my mom gave my niece a whole bunch of cool things from Santa, but didn't really do very many presents from Nana, from my mom. And my niece was kind of disappointed because she thought that my mom didn't really get her anything. So,
oh my goodness. I for some reason, I was just thinking my parents just did all Santa. I mean, maybe they did for mommy and daddy, but I just think I never really thought about it. I didn't know if I was going to put any. Well, no, this year, but that's a really good point to bring up.
And for the things that I get my husband, I sometimes will sign it like to daddy from Miles, but I'm still getting the credit. He knows that Miles didn't go to the store and buy those things. So I'm okay with that. But like when it's a big charade like that, like, aren't you glad Santa, mommy and daddy got me that?
Yeah. I don't know. I'd probably go the route of putting your own name on it right now, you know, because it is a big item, and he'll want to remember since he is remembering.
Yeah, he totally knows.
Well, and speaking of Santa, I wanted to bring up one tip that one reader shared with me, or someone shared with me offline, about the post that I wrote about how Santa will know where you are with your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they emailed it to me, so I didn't, it wasn't on the blog for anyone to see, but I thought this was a brilliant idea. So basically what she did when she was growing up, or her parents had her do, is when they're old enough, when you go see Santa and you tell him what you want, you need to tell him where you're going to be on Christmas Day.
Well, that's cute. That's a good idea.
So simple. Why didn't I think of it?
Yeah. So how was Miles on Santa's lap? Because I noticed in the Christmas card, Miles is sitting on Santa's lap.
Because
I think kids usually get kind of afraid of Santa.
Yeah, that was the only one where he wasn't absolutely sobbing. He loves Santa, but he didn't want to be left alone with Santa. So we went on the first day. I had looked it up on the mall website, and I knew that Santa arrived on November 10th. So we went early so that there was no one there so that he could have a lot of time with Santa. And so he was intrigued by him, and he wanted to hang out with him. And then Santa had Clayton sit on his lap first, and that seemed to work. And then
I hope you got a picture of that.
I wish I had. And then they didn't let you take pictures with your cell phone there. And then, you know, you didn't want to use one of their pictures of Clayton and Santa. So they, and then we sat Miles next to Clayton on Santa's other knee, and he was okay with that. But then when Clayton walked away, he started to cry. So he did okay. But he was sort of like that on the Thanksgiving parade. We went to a Disney breakfast, and Mickey was there. He was kind of the same, like, I don't want to be left alone with him. But then we were there for like 3 hours, and he had Mickey to himself basically the whole time. It was this nice event that Disney threw. And then he just wouldn't leave Mickey alone. So it takes him a long time to warm up, I think. And most kids don't have that option. In the mall, you get 5 minutes or something like that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
If that.
Yeah.
You guys, has Dominic gone to see Santa?
We went last year, and he was not a big fan. Although the elves who were helping Santa, you know, orchestrate the pictures were brilliant. They took this, like, sheet of paper, and they waved it in his face, and it created kind of a breeze, and it gave him this, like, big fake smile, and they snapped the picture, and it was the most adorable picture ever. But he was not a fan of Santa. And this year, it was funny, we ran into Santa at the mall. This was, like, way before Thanksgiving. I didn't even know that Santa was there yet. And he was just kind of hanging out because no one was seeing him. So we walked up to him and we said hello. And Dominic just looked down at the ground the entire time. Like, he loves Santa, but he, like, averted his eyes and would not look at Santa. So I have a feeling that this year it's going to be a little bit of a struggle to get a good picture with Santa.
Yeah, I can't imagine how I'm going to do it next year, because Miles will probably be just as timid, and then I'll have the little baby, so I'll have to throw them both at him for a second.
Oh, no.
Do your best. Hurry up.
I read an article in Parenting on this whole introducing your kid to Santa thing, and they actually recommended, you know, if your kid is scared, well, they said first, don't say, now don't be afraid of Santa, he's nice, because they aren't thinking that. And you're putting that in their mind that, should I be scared?
Yeah.
So, and they also said that if they're crying and they're really upset, don't make them do it, you know?
Right.
Take the picture. Though my sister and my mom, they've definitely put the triplets on the Santa's lap with all three of them crying. It's so funny. We haven't taken Elle this year just because we're waiting on my husband to be able to go with us. We want to go as a family, and it's just been really busy. So, and I am actually disappointed in some of these mall prices for the Santa pictures are a little much.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, we went last year, and actually,
go ahead.
The place that we went actually let you take pictures with your phone, which I thought was pretty nice. But we did end up buying one, but we just bought one of the big ones, and then we scanned it and made prints.
Hmm. They wouldn't let you take any at the one we went.
Yeah, although this
went
was
to last.
You know, if you sign up, because a lot of them give you digital prints as well, and then the next year they'll give you like you can prepay for the package. So the one that we went to last year allowed us to, like they sent us a promotional email around Thanksgiving saying, you know, or before the Santa came, and said he'll be back. If you want to buy early, you get a discount. So it kind of helps to keep track of that kind of stuff if you can.
Ah, that's a really
good
idea. I should do that. There's a little shopping center down from us that we went to last year, and they have free pictures with Santa on Saturdays. And surprisingly, last year when we went, there wasn't a line. This is not the best looking Santa I've ever seen. It was a little scraggly. So it might be worth going to the mall where you actually have a pretty awesome, legit looking Santa that you have to splurge, spend about $20 on this package.
Right. And Home Depot has Christmas characters as well that you can go. I know they have elves on Saturdays. So huh. You can do something a bit, you know, close, but not exactly that thing. And I don't know that they charge for that. But Home Depot has a lot of fun activities for kids, or at least the one near me does. They have, I think it's the first Saturday of every month, they have craft lessons for little kids.
Really?
Build a birdhouse out of, you know, wood, and they actually get nails and hammers. It's closely supervised. And then the next time they build, I don't know, picture frames or whatever. Like, it's really cute. They do such a good job of engaging kids and getting them to want to build things with their own hands. It's like soul craft, you know?
That's neat.
Yeah, so
I had no idea.
Next time you go into Home Depot, ask, because I think all of them have that. Like, I posted that on Twitter once, and someone said, oh, yeah, I used to always take my kids to that. Or I think it was my mom's boyfriend, whose kids are all in their 20s, who said, oh, yeah, I used to always take my kids to Home Depot. They learned a lot.
Oh, huh. That's awesome. I did a woodworking class when I was little, and I loved that.
Yeah, Miles is still a little too young. I think they start at 2. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's good to just keep an eye out for that kind of stuff.
Oh, and 2, that's pretty young.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know they have, you know, they have safety precautions there. You don't just, you know, they don't give them a power saw right out. You don't have to worry about that.
Or about a hammer or a nail. I mean, I shouldn't even have those items.
I know.
I don't know. Jennifer has a power sander on her Christmas list.
Wow.
Yes. And they have these sanders now that have bags that collect all the sawdust, which is awesome.
That is good.
That is neat. All right, well, let's talk more about gadgets then, because I put together our holiday gift guide for this week, which was gadgets. So I put together some fun things that I thought you guys might like to look at. I've talked many times about baby monitors, so I posted about my favorite one there, which I just think is the most lovely baby monitor that I've seen, and I've seen quite a few. There's a great camera if you really want to splurge on a camera. Sound system. Of course, there's the iPad. This thing I thought that we hadn't talked about before, which I think is so neat, is the Cobra Tag. Did you guys read about that?
With the phone, the key.
I thought about Jennifer when I read that.
So this system. It unfortunately doesn't work with iPhone yet, and all of us have iPhones, so we'll have to wait a little bit. But it's a system where you put a little tag, like a keychain, on your keys, and then there's an app on the smartphone that works with BlackBerry and Android phones. BlackBerry and Android phones. And then when you lose your keys, you can open the app on your smartphone, and it will tell you where they are, and it will send an alert so you can find them. If you lose the smartphone, you can send an alert from your keys, and so either of them will find one another, which I think is so great for parents, because my diaper bag can be a total black hole. I don't know how many times I've thought that I lost my keys, but they're in there. Does that happen to you? Maybe it's just the diaper bag I have.
No.
I use the cool little outside pocket on mine, so that's really good.
I do too, but I have 4 outside pockets, and I forget which one it's in, and it's black, and my keys are black. So, and the same with the smartphone. It's just, you know, or even just coming in around the house, I try and always put my keys and phone in the same place, but it doesn't always happen. So any parent who needs a little help finding things, this is a great, great gift. It's sold out on Amazon right now, so you can't get it for the cheaper price, but you can order it through the site, and we have a link in the blog post, and we'll also put it in our show notes as well.
Bummer. This is perfect for me. I literally lost my keys and never found them.
Really?
What?
Yeah. My mom had to ship us another of the keys because this is her old car that she'd handed down to us with the automatic unlock thing. So it was definitely, it was in the garage. It was locked, so I made it home with them somewhere, but they have never been found.
And I also loved it 5 years later, probably.
Maybe. We had gone on a long walk that day, and I think they possibly could have fallen out of the stroller, but I don't know. And another thing that I like about this for parents is Elle loves to take my phone and walk around with it. And as you know, they are putting things in the strangest places, so this will help me find them when it's not my fault that it's missing.
Yes, indeed. Well, there's lots of fun suggestions there. So ring in on the post if you'd want and tell me what are some of the things that you're hankering for this holiday season. Speaking of gifts, we have a lot of things that we're giving away. We have a Munchkin gift pack. We have a nice something from Caringbridge, which we'll tell you about on the blog next week when the blog is posted. But a lot of fun things. We have a Safeway gift card. Make sure you enter. It doesn't cost you anything. We just want you to have some of the stuff that we really like using. So we always end up the podcast with a little victory, which is just something that our kids have accomplished or we have accomplished as parents that we're celebrating. And I've been talking a lot about daycare since I had to start Miles up in daycare. And he's only been 3 hours at a time, just three mornings a week. He goes three hours at a time. And I have to tell you, those first couple of drop-offs were, it was like someone just ripped my heart out and stomped on him with a stiletto. It was awful because he didn't want to see me go and I didn't want to leave him. And as much as I feel in my gut that it's a good thing for him to learn to socialize, it still was just sad and heartbreaking. But in the last couple of days, every time I've picked him up, he's been just doing so well there, and he's playing and he's having fun, and he's, you know, I asked them for a progress report and they let me call as many times as possible. I can just call and they're like, he's playing right now, he's getting his diaper changed right now, he's doing fine. So my little victory is that he is starting to really embrace it, because I really just, it was so hard for me. And Clayton said to me, well, what do you think? He's going to be the one in like 300 kids who just cannot cope with daycare and we have to just quit? And I was like, well, no. Of course, I don't really think that when you play it out in your head all the way through to your scary thoughts. But, you know, I don't want him to be unhappy or feel scared or feel abandoned. And I want him to learn that there are times when mommy has to go and mommy will always come back. So my little victory is that we're surviving daycare. And, you know, there still are tears during drop-off, but they go away so fast, and he really is learning to love to make friends. And he gets really excited when he hears the nursery rhymes that he sings at school at home, and he sort of jumps around and, you know, like, I know this, mommy, I know this. And he's learning, you know, he's learning a lot, and, you know, you can't really tell in just 3 weeks. But anyway, my little victory is that we're getting through it.
That's awesome. I'm glad you brought that up, because I was wanting to ask you about that. And it sounds like you guys are doing really well.
Yeah. Although, you know, I kind of am in the person where he's had a little runny nose and I was like, maybe we shouldn't bring him. And Clayton's like, well, you know, and so next week we're going to be home in the Bay Area visiting my sister's new baby, God willing. And so, you know, I'm kind of excited not to take him, but I have to sort of in my head think, and I can get so much done in just those 3 hours to myself. It's amazing. I'm like Superwoman. you sort of forget what it was like to be able to concentrate on work and just get stuff done. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I have to sort of get myself excited about it too, because that will rub off on him. So was that your experience, Nat, or he was always just like, okay, bye, mom?
He was always pretty much okay with it. Yeah, he didn't struggle. I struggled more than he did.
Yeah. How old was he when you started him, Nat?
Oh, it wasn't very long ago. It was like 4 months ago, maybe. So he was about a year and a half.
Yeah.
So about maybe a little less than a year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. So Miles was 16 months when he started.
Yeah, I think that's about, because he's 20 months now. So yeah, I'd say about 16 months.
Yeah, I think that's about the age you're thinking of starting L.
And then I had some a-hole on my Facebook page say something like, your kid needs you every second of the, you know, of every day. You shouldn't be taking him to daycare anyway.
Oh,
and I was screw you. Of course it was a guy. It was a man.
Yeah. Probably doesn't have kids either.
Yeah. Oh, no, I looked at his profile and he was like proud father of, you know, whatever. And I just wrote back, spoken by someone who obviously knows a lot about motherhood.
Yeah.
Or balancing career and family.
Yeah, wow.
It's a little harder.
How dare people say that to me? And I mentioned it to my sister, and she goes, that's what you get for putting your life on blast. I'm like, Lindsay, I'm asking for a little sympathy here. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's someone who's just, you know, they have nothing better to do than make someone else's day, make someone else feel bad. So
yeah,
take it with a grain of salt.
Screw that guy. And we celebrate this as a little victory. If you want to share your little victory.
Yeah.
I did voodoo on him. Don't worry. If you want to celebrate your little victories, you can always email us, mb@mommybeta.com. You can tweet us @mommybeta. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/mommybeta, or just go to mommybeta. Type in anything on the post, unless you say something mean like, my kid shouldn't ever be in daycare, and then I'm going to delete that post. otherwise, we do welcome your comments anytime. Thanks so much for listening to episode 30 of the Mommy Beta podcast. Hopefully next week I will be a new auntie.
Yay! Yay.
I will let you know how that goes. Have a great holiday season, everyone. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
You and me, happy as can be, flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. You and me, rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks and more. You grow so big overnight. How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you. Drawing pictures wild and free while the paint goes flying. Your big smile, it brightens up the room. You and me reading books in bed, your head on my shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. You grow so big overnight. How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms. Today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud.